Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hello, you two. Tis old Grey Whiskers pestering you again. Right you are. Here we go, then. Now, if your listeners don't like them there advertisements, things what keeps coming up on your chats on this newfangled sort of wireless program, all they got to do is pay for it themselves. A couple of quid a show will keep our Lucy and our Royfield out of them there food banks what we hear so much about nowadays. So go to that there Patreon, what sounds like a load of colonials all getting uppity, but it ain't. And they'll take your cash to pay for all that there technology thingamajigs. Just think about it. A couple of quid for an hour or so of chat and chuckling to yourself. Tis cheaper than going to the Picture Palace anyway.
Just realize now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not very good at that kind of interpretive music stuff. I need something I can hum to. You can't clap along with that, can you, Royfield?
You old fart.
I must admit,
when I heard that, I was utterly floored because Matthew, who did that, Matt Stone, he knows, I think we've spoken before on the Twitters, or at least I've said on Twitter, that that piece of music, the original to that, Can You Feel It by Mr. Fingers, is one of my favourite all-time pieces of music. So it's like 1987, it's on Trax Records, I was at college, I was just started to DJ, and it just transports me back to then. But it's just so deep, it's so mellow, it's just so beautiful. So we talked about this on Twitter, and it's just like disposable thought, right? You just threw it out there, rah, it's gone. And then I get this in the inbox. It's Mr. Fingers. I'm like, oh, Royfield, I've done you this. I'm like, well, it's Mr. Fingers. And then he's done a dum-de-dum on top. Holy shit. Lucy, I'm standing up and doing one of these. You are so talented, sir. And thank you for mashing together two of my most favourite things, because this is Dum-de-dum, the show about the reality docudrama that's centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am the aspirational fruit juicer that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the dazzled farmhand that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Ambridge's newest married couples, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dum-de-dum was from R. Matthew Stone. this man has got so much talent. I just thought, please keep doing that. I want to hear interpreted versions of Firestarter with the Ambridge theme tune, or, you know, ABBA's Waterloo to Dumb. Just bring it on. Bring it on, Mr. Stone, because, you know, your calling and your talent is to do this in life. But Lucy.
Yeah.
Whilst Mr. Stone is putting this stuff together, maybe another Dumdy Dummer wants to get in and do a Dumdy Dum. And if they do, how can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her brilliant voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek for Learn in the Back Bedroom. Derek would like to share his experience. We don't often do sort of political messages on this show, but this was a plea from Derek. He said he's a big fan of Jacob Rees-Mogg.
And oh, Jesus.
He says, Jacob Rees-Mogg's been criticised for switching to a soft Brexit. Derek says he frequently has the same problem, and a quick rummage in Auntie Cardboard's undercracker drawer gets him back to a hard Brexit in no time. So...
I don't want to think about Auntie Cardboard from the cracker drawer. I really don't.
Or Jacob Rees-Mogg. Isn't either of them, really.
That would completely knacker my Brexit, I'm telling you. I saw her on the cracker drawer. I was just like, oh, folks, on this week's episode, we hear views from Philippa, Jojo, Elizabeth, Dusty, Wendy, and Fiona, and possibly Claire. Dependent on whether we think we heard from Claire last week. Not quite sure. Big shout out goes out to my Claire. Lucy, just before we get on with the show here, because I did say this to Kerry Davis, to the dear. Right, so first off, if you imagine like the Bible, off, in the beginning, there was the archers. Yeah. And the archers did begat Dumdy Dum. And Dumdy Dum did begat Map Corner. Map Corner's going from strength to strength.
Is it?
Yeah. So we just put out the third episode yesterday. And Millie Hart, who was a Map Corner refusenik, definitely a hard exiteer, did not want it on Dumdy Dum. She's sent a rather nice little tweet. I'm just going to quickly read it out. This Millie Hart came in all of 20 minutes ago. What a bloody brilliant Map Corner podcast today. Royfield and Claire, really interesting, got me through the ironing. The interview with Mr. Map Porn was inspiring and the postcard was beautifully done. Gosh, you clever people, thank you. Thank you, Millie Hart. So anyway, yeah, so we do have a child. Other than our Andy in Denmark, it's actually Map Corner. We did begat it.
I think it's beget, isn't it? Begat is the past participle.
Oh, just start getting fucking clever with me. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I went to university. You know,
So did you, your pillock?
No, I didn't. I got booted out and it was like, yeah.
Well, you went to it until they realised.
It was art school. Art school.
Yes.
Past participle, me ass. God, no wonder people want a Brexit. You know, you're one of those liberal elitists, aren't you? Bet you live in London. Yeah, there you go, you do.
I don't live in Essex, so...
Right, folks, enough of this joshing around, because as always we've got 1 million calls. So it's time for our Lucy and a Week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by the phrase, "What's the matter, Helen?" Jill had a makeover courtesy of Ruth. I don't mean by Ruth. Ruth's idea of grooming is picking the biggest bits out of her teeth. This was bought for her by Ruth and delivered by Natasha. It wasn't much, but she had a new eyeshadow palette and her lemon drizzle lifted. Also, Natasha made her wear a scarf that made her eyes pop. She said, "Don't talk about that, please, it's glandular," said Jill. David and Ruth had bought the scarf back from holiday. Jill worried it was too bright, and it must have been, as no one noticed it had "A Present from Malaga" in Comic Sans on the back. Lily and Russ had the unpleasant task of clearing the shite out from under Freddy's bed. They found a copy of 50 Shades of Grey, and then Russ unearthed something else. "It looks quite old. Is it something from Nigel's collection?" "Yes, it's a copy of Razzle," said Lily briskly. Poor old dapper Leonard is beginning to realise what he's getting himself into. He watched dumbfounded as they put a live lamb in the oven. No, it's not that weird, Leonard. Just ignore the weasel in the frying pan. Over at Bridge Farm, Henry roundhoused Johnny in the nuts. Our testicles, brilliant! Rather than telling him off, Helen took the unusual step of fabricating an entire story that the whole of karate class was off, that karate had been made illegal, and if you did it, your knees fell off. She then backtracked and said she'd misread an email. Poor old Henry. If he isn't batshit already, Helen's behaviour will certainly make him so. Kenton had an unusual week, it's fair to say. He spent an hour crouching under the bar, hiding from his brother, and then another hour trying to persuade his niece's boyfriend to dress up like a rabbit. It's no wonder, then, that Jolene has jumped at the chance of touring with some country in Western Lothario. It's a national tour, I think. She's very big in the Quantox, Jolene. Lily has got a job selling kitchens. After initial resistance, Russ has realised that it'll do her good to get out of the house and it'll give him more of a chance to get into Elizabeth's pants. Psyche, I mean. David is quietly having a breakdown. He announced that me and my finger are going shopping and no one batted an eyelid. He also never has any idea at the moment who is in his house. He spends the whole time going, ah! Every time the door opens. We also learned more than we want to know about Natasha, who I have gone right off again. I unbent a little when she was nice to Tony, but I have a horrible feeling that Natasha is aspirational. As far as I can see, the word aspirational is responsible for most of the unpleasant people in the world and Instagram. She described her and Tom.
Oh, you're on form this week. Well done.
She described her and Tom as a dynamic couple. Unironically, they went to her friend's house. All Natasha's friends have shortened names, which is another very bad sign. Yes, let's go and have bruschetta with Dom and Tori and Fi and Matt, she said. We can sit on their white sofas and drink gin with bits in it and look like a J. Crew advert. It's amazing you don't know them, really. Natasha, no one in Ambridge knows anyone else. Their only contact with the outside world is with people from another tribe when they come to play cricket and then they drive them off with sticks and potted meat sandwiches. So Natasha and Tom went to see one of those houses that's on Grand Designs. You know, everything is all shiny and empty. All the walls are glass. There's funny coloured lights and they have to live in a caravan in their own drive for 18 months while Kevin MacLeod floats about saying, oh, the build has gone £445,000 over budget. And then they get divorced. As always, Tom caved in immediately and has agreed to sell a kidney so they can rent this open plan monstrosity. In other news, Natasha doesn't like anyone coming in through the back door. I hope that didn't emerge during the honeymoon. Especially as Tom had had a bottle and a half of champagne, apparently. Interestingly, though, Jill insists on Leonard coming in through the back door. No accounting for taste. Maybe Leonard's special gentleman likes it. Who knows? The end.
Oh, well done. That is a triumph this week. Like the backdoor gags, I like the little, you know, the crack about Instagram. You're on it. You're on the zeitgeist, aren't you? Well done.
She's awful, though, isn't she? Unbearable, Natasha. You know, when she's describing herself as a brand and, you know, this is how we're going to represent ourselves, you actually have to have some, you have to have some track record. You actually have to have done something before you become a brand. You don't just have the brand and then become it afterwards. Stupid cow. Ugh.
Lucy, you have lived in like 2019, haven't you?
Yeah.
You have just been transported like TARDIS like into this year. Loads of people do that. They go, right, here's a flashy logo or here's an image. Bang, I'm a thing.
Yes, I know they do it. It doesn't mean that it works, though.
Well, it's worked for many, many a brand. Many a brand, you know.
Yeah, but not
just
where
come
you
out of
live.
Nowhere.
You don't, you know. She's the type of person that'll end up with a feature in you know, Borsetshire Life talking about her perfect business, and then it will go bust within a month later. That's what happens.
Mm. Well, I quite like her as a character. I'm loving her. And I like the fact that we have an idea what's going on. And if you've listened to this week's Archers, you know, your suspicions have been proved right. But I like her. I like her as a character. I think she's awesome. I like her.
I can't work out if she's malicious and, you know, sort of devious and thick.
I don't think
devious and annoying, or just annoying.
No, I don't think she's particularly devious. Blithely blind to stuff is more like it.
Right.
I like her. Like it. And I think Tom's had his first doubt. But I'm moving on till next week, right. So I really shouldn't really
bloody
talk
hell, they've
about
only been married a week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God.
Yeah. Right. So just whilst it's like in me notes.
Mm.
And there is a note. You know what? I'm going to forget about that because I was going to mention something which somebody does actually talk about on one of the calls. So not going to bother with that. I'm still rocking out to Mr. Fingers, Larry Heard's Can You Feel It? It's still like echoing in the back of my mind. I tell you what I'm going to do at the end of the show, Lucy. I'm going to put like a Mr. Fingers mega mix right at the end. Get all the dumby dummers getting down to late 80s deep house. Chicago track style. Anyway, I'm blathering on. I'm talking loads. I really shouldn't. I should do this instead.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Right, first is our Fifi.
Hello, this is 0161 Fifi. I'm a first-time caller-inner, new to Dumpty Dum, and reconnected with the Archers during a random listen whilst Rob deleted Helen's mobile phone footage of him cheating at cricket. I had no idea about the current storyline at the time. I just couldn't believe that someone could cheat at cricket in the Archers. And so my re-addiction began. I was at book group last Friday. Not one of us had read a book. There were various complaints. It's 50 pages long. It's got tiny writing. It's a book. I have the answer. We ditch books and listen to the Archers and Dumpty Dum and drink to that instead. # book groups are so 2018. I'm a bit confused as to when Dumpty Dum is released. I think somewhere it says that you're a weekly podcast released on Mondays. But in the 3 months since
or
I
Tuesdays,
discovered you,
or Wednesdays.
I've never seen you pop up in my podcast feed on a Monday. Sometimes you don't appear in the week at all. I quite like the randomness of this, but in our otherwise timetabled world. But it's hard to feed my addiction this way. I listened to last week's episode, and what struck me most was £15, Lily's taxi from Lower Loxley to the Bull. Please, can you publish the map of Ambridge with the taxi fares? Love the podcast. Please, can we have a Dumpty Dum catch up in Didsbury? Thank you.
Hmm. Who's going to get it in the neck for the randomness of when Dumpty Dums actually get published, Lucy?
I can smell blame, and it's you.
I'm gonna because I believe in collective.
No, actually, it's quite often it's me because something happens with family stuff that I have to deal with, so I often can't do it on a Monday. For example, I cannot do it next Monday.
Wherever you saw, Fifi, that it was Monday, we should really change that to Tuesday.
Mm.
I think, if anything, it's more likely to come out on a Tuesday, and then there is the odd occasional Wednesday, and there has been the odd occasional slippage to a Thursday. And it doesn't help that I am in a different time zone. So if something does slightly slip, then it's another day again. So I think Lucy and I take cabinet responsibility in this regard. Shit happens, basically. But you get your Dumpty Dum. But I don't know about this, oh, I've gone a week and not seen a Dumpty Dum. When's that ever happened? When?
I don't know. No, I don't think it has.
I don't think it has either.
No.
I think we've definitely put out the odd one on a Thursday, and I think it's even slipped to a Friday once, but we've always got one out in a week. Yeah.
I like the idea of having an Archers group, not a book group, though.
Yeah.
My friend's given up calling her book group. She now calls it wine club. The talk of the book is now minimal in the extreme. It's like the first time. It's like, did anyone read it? No, I didn't have time. Have you seen The Bodyguard? And they just...
Yes.
They just talk about whatever they've been watching and drink a lot. That's it.
It's Netflix and wine instead. All right. So from our Phoebe, it's now our Dusty.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. Just reflecting on Lucy's comments about Pip needing to get proper paid professional childcare for that poor benighted baby, it occurred to me that when Ruth and David were bringing up their three delightful children, they actually did the same thing. They passed them from pillar to post. Mm. Even on one occasion, the children went to play with a family who was staying in the holiday cottages. That was how up to speed they were on their childcare. So this is how Pip thinks you do it. So you can't really blame her on that level, because her role models were shite, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, that little conjecture for the week. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for that, Dusty, and thank you for giving us a historical perspective.
I'd forgotten that. I remember that, though. I remember them going to play with the people in the holiday cottages.
Mm. They don't really mention them so much anymore, do they, the holiday cottages? They get a tiny little mention every now and then, but yes, as a proper 90s thing. On the old Archers. Right, so we're rattling through this. This is awesome. We're only 19 minutes in. We're on our third caller in, and this one is Elizabeth.
Hello. I'm a second time caller in, although the first time wasn't very memorable, so I may say that I'm a first time caller in. I am a Vicky Tucker, because the first episode I ever listened to properly was when Vicky got married to Mike, and I haven't really missed one since, I don't think, and I was about 15 or 16 at the time. I really love the show, and I just wanted to call in to comment on the novel 50 Shades of Grey being found in Freddie's room. That is total bullshit. He's a teenager and he's dealing drugs, so surely he can access internet pornography, which is much better than extremely badly written fiction aimed at middle-aged women. That's pretty much all I have to say, really. Please keep going, because I love the show, and I look forward to listening to it every week. Bye.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That completely clanged wrong for me as well. I'm glad you said that.
I must admit, it did smell funny to me, but then again, maybe that was just underneath Freddie's bed.
Yeah, exactly.
But Luce, what was your first encounter with porn or erotica that you can remember?
Babysitting for somebody and reading a copy of Fanny Hill on their bookshelf and thinking, goodness, this is a bit, ooh. Yes.
Hey. Mine was, I must have told you this story before. Did I tell you about the English teacher at school?
No.
Because I get mixed up, because I know...
Am I going to have to alert social services about this? Because it's not sounding good so far.
I think statutes of limitations have passed. Okay. This, right. But there's two things. All right. My mother and father, mum won't be listening to this, so she won't be embarrassed. They obviously, when I was a little kid, it embraced the world of physical coupling. And one of my first ever memories was, if you went into the ottoman, dad would say, son, go into the ottoman and go and get me my blah, 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 whatever. And I had to and he had all these papers.
Yeah.
And this metal tin and whatever. And it was like the passport, all the important stuff. And you have to go in there and get it. I'd be like 5 or 6. And there was this book with these drawings in it, and they were all Indian. and at the time, I didn't quite understand it, but I knew enough to not to ever say, "What is this?"
Yeah. Why have you got a book full of naked ladies in your ottoman?
Yeah, but I remember being about 14, and I don't know what lesson we'd done at school. Or just whatever, and the Kama Sutra came up, and I went, "That's what it was." this thing had always been in the back of my little 5-year-old brain about the Indian drawings and whatever.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that's that. But here is the much more juicy story.
Mm.
Right, so it's not my first experience with porn, because by this time, I absolutely knew what porn was. About 15. And
presumably there were woods near your house. And if you ever wanted to find porn in the 70s, you just went to woods and there would be a burnt out shed full of copies of Fiesta always.
Well, which one of those magazines, you'll know this because you're in publishing, which one of those magazines had the section Reader's Wives?
I think that was Fiesta. I don't know though.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think it was Razzle. Fiesta was like you know, the everyman's jizz mag, wasn't it?
How funny, what a funny name, Fiesta and Razzle.
Yeah. Anyway, so went to school one day and Michael Harris, Michael Harris, who lived just by the Boar's Head, just off the College Road. Oh, you know that, yeah. Michael
him
Harris.
Him with the anorak,
right.
Yep.
Right, him with a significant part of the story, the older brother, right?
Oh,
the brother,
yes,
was about 3 years older.
Right.
Comes running into the playground. It's Mrs. Cole. Oh my God.
No, Lucy, not in Regis' yes. Wives.
Yes, 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 yes. Right. And like everybody was like, bullshit. And then he shows it and it says, it was like Sarah C, as in Cole, West Midlands. It was the English teacher.
Does she send the photo in herself?
Well, I presume it was her husband or a partner, because it was Reader's Wives. I presume. I don't know, Lucy. But we're looking at this going, oh my God, it's our English teacher. English teacher. And
Lordy.
Anyway, so that was like when we got to school. This thing is being passed around and everybody's going, oh my God, it's our English teacher. At first break, Deputy Head marches out. Harris, come here, boy. Like this.
Have you got any more copies of that? We're running low in the staff room.
Michael Harris goes up and he says, give me what's in your bag. And he's like, I don't know what you mean, sir. He just pulls him by his ear. All right.
Yeah.
Takes the magazine off him and then says to him, if any word of this gets out, you'll be expelled. This did not happen. That was the end of that. So that was 1985. Could you imagine if that went down now?
Oof. Yeah.
But that was it.
Lordy. Yeah.
Incident done.
Yeah.
Harris, come here, pinch of the ear, say anything, you're expelled. And she kept her job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening, ring.
I've changed the name of the English teacher just for what it's worth. You know, this is 30 years hence, but like, yes.
Yes.
Her name was not Cole, but yes.
Wow.
Mm, drama.
Like, a couple of years ago, we went to Amsterdam and William was with us and we were running late for the train and we decided to take a shortcut, which inevitably led us through one of the, you know, narrow alleyways in Amsterdam, which are much frequented by tourists in football shirts. So off we went and we're roaring down there. Tilly's just trundling along, trying to get, you know, sort of look at where she's going. And William suddenly appeared at me and he went, Mum, there's a lady, she's got her top, she doesn't realise her curtains are open, Mum, she's got her top off and she doesn't realise that. I said, don't worry. And he went, oh, all right, okay. I went, oh, there's another one, Mummy, there's another one. Oh, but I said, yep, just keep looking ahead. And then he said, that one's on her phone. She's so not bothered, she's on her phone in the window with her boobs out. And I said, oh. And I said, honestly, William, don't worry, keep going. So, and then we go past another one. He said, oh, this is too much. This is embarrassing. Let's just stop in here for a minute, he says, and shoot sideways into a shop that says magic mushrooms over the top. We're like, William, come out! So we sort of ushered him onto the train, but he sat looking a bit like Father Dougal off Father Ted for a while, just trying to... So then we had an enormous and very entertaining chat about prostitution all the way home. anyway, yes. So that's his first experience of pornography. Ladies who'd forgotten to put their vests on. Yes.
And we're not bothered.
And we're, no. She doesn't realise her curtains are open, so it's fine. Thankfully, her curtains weren't open. She had her knickers on, but, you know, not ideal.
last week, I said that we're actually 5 years old.
Didn't I?
And... I can't remember if this next caller was actually on episode one in terms of a caller being a caller in era, I kind of think she was. If she wasn't episode one, it definitely was episode two. It's our JoJo and her sexy heels.
Hi there, Dumb Two Dummers. It's JoJo, Sexy Heels here. Haven't been in touch recently. Had a few health issues and ended up being about 3 weeks behind listening to The Archers, 4 weeks behind listening to Dumb Two Dum. And all the wonderful comments that came into mind were out of date. Anyway, back to currently, I'm living in Spain at the moment and enjoying the lovely weather and have caught up with Dumb Two Dum and The Archers. And I felt I ought to call in to say I think that Nasha is just a younger, more up-to-date version of Pat. She's Welsh, she's innovative. Mm. You know, there was no chance of Bridge Farm ever going organic if it hadn't been for Pat and her new ideas. And, you know, I think Tom's just got an Oedipus complex, and make of that what you will. The other thing that came to mind this week was relating to Leonard's painting skills. He's clearly done a painting by numbers. He's not artistic in any way, shape or form. And I had a quick look online and there are plenty of kits that you can buy as an adult and paint a picture of a lovely country scene. And I'm sure that's what he's done. I know on the Twitters, people have said he's bought it in a car boot sale and maybe it belongs to a discarded painting that maybe Russ has done. That would be a lovely twist in the tale. But I'm just quite liking the whole Tom and Nasha storyline. And I think she's going to be great for The Archers and long may she reign. So speak to you all again, probably a bit sooner than the last 6 months. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you for that, JoJo. I concur that, as I said before, I actually do love Natasha. I think she's great. If nothing else, because she's just very different from the other women on the show. You know, she's a bit makeup and, well, not a bit, big time makeup and makeovers. And she's a really good counterpoint. And yeah, she does inhabit a world of Instagram, though she hasn't exactly said that, but with your monologue, yeah, she's completely that type of aspirational world where everything's a little bit kind of glitzy and stuff. And yeah, loving it so far. I'm loving it like that. So
I think JoJo, I thought exactly the same thing, but and I think that as Pat was absolutely a product of her time, she was a feminist. She was the epitome of 70s woman. She hasn't really moved on. She still is the epitome of 70s womanhood. Mm. I think I agree. I think Natasha's the epitome of, sadly, 2019 young womanhood. And she's fallen victim to trends that, you know, aren't massively. Talking of that, has anyone noticed that Helen's not eating again?
Oh,
a couple of times people have said, oh, she's hardly eaten anything. Pat said she's hardly eaten anything. She's saying, oh, no, I can't manage anything. I'm not hungry. I'm not. Da, 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 da. And I thought, oh, God, here we go again.
Well spotted. I hadn't noticed that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Freeman.
It's, and she's clean. She's going back to her compulsive thing. She's cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. And Pat said, that's already yes, clean, Helen. You have to stop.
I did notice that.
Mm. Oh, God.
No.
Oh, Jennifer Corley has emailed about that. She said, I have sworn off Twitter for Lent, so I'm cheating by sending my comments to you. Oh, Jennifer, we are telling God on you. Anyway, Helen is driving me absolutely crackers. Did anyone else cop that she sends a taxi to collect Henry from karate. She's seriously not able to collect Henry from karate once a week with two crowds. But I think that's because she's trying to avoid Lee, actually. But anyway. Then telling Henry karate's cancelled rather than telling him kicking cousin Johnny in the knackers is wrong. So cowardly and such bad parenting. Pat also seemed to think it was not Helen's responsibility to teach her son physical boundaries, saying, couldn't you get Lee to have a word? How about Helen tells the little shit where to get off? Then Helen was incredibly selfish, asking Kirsty to clean the dairy and listen to her whine on Kirsty's day off, totally ignoring Kirsty's trauma over the wedding. And I thought she was absolutely horrible to Lee. I get she's damaged, but she almost sounded like Rob when she had a go at Lee. She really needs to get herself down Lizzie's therapist and take control of her story. Otherwise, she's going about damaging other people as well as continuing to suffer from Rob. Not on, Helen. More than time to stop being a victim. Put your big girl pants on, get proper help and take real responsibility for your life. I don't see why Tom has to accommodate her and the boys. Can't Helen build a bungalow on the farm too and live an independent grown-up life? It's about time she did, in my opinion. Tough love there from Jennifer Cawley.
Yeah, I think some of that love is a little bit too tough, if I'm being fair, Jennifer. Yeah, I believe in tough love, but, you know. We talked about this in regards of mental health a few weeks ago. But when you're in something, you're in it. And it isn't just situational. You know, it's kind of brain chemistry gets altered. And then in situations like that, what you need is a bit of an intervention. Now, the problem is that people don't realize that she's descending. The person that probably does is actually Emma. You know, Emma's got more of a handle on it because she has an understanding of the relationship with Lee. And she knows that relationship has come to an abrupt end, whereas Pat is somewhat just grasping at what the hell has kind of gone on. So really, this is when you need your loved ones around you to take you to one side and say, we are going to do this against what you think is, you know, what you think is for your own good, because you are not being yourself. But they haven't spotted the signs yet. And I know everybody slags off the Bridge Farm archers and says they're rubbish. I don't think they're as rubbish as people make out. They're just the way that they're portrayed is a regular set of people. But they have these lofty high ambitions and ideals to do with ethical farming, which kind of slightly grates with us because they're always talking about changing their business plans and stuff. But actually, as a group of people, you know, Pat is like a regular mum who loves her kids and ditto Tony, et cetera, et cetera. But they just haven't realised yet. So it isn't just a case of Helen pulling up a big girl pants. She's gone through a terrible trauma in the last 5 years. She's got a checkered past with emotional relationships anyway, you know, as I keep on referring to people, you know, a previous partner went and topped himself. You know, so, you know, she's got some shit to deal with. However, she needs people around her to actually say, Helen, you need help, you know. So don't be so harsh. Don't be so harsh.
Yes. There you go. That told you, Jennifer.
Right. Now, shall we move on from that rather good email? And how's about we have a little bit of Philippa?
Hello, it's Philippa here from Shropshire. Hope everybody's well. Just a very quick prediction from me.
Ooh, good.
With Robin Fairbrother pushing to have Rosie baptised promptly, I wonder if he's not long for this world, which could mean that a large sum of money comes over to Rex and Toby. And will Toby invest the money in an account for Rosie, or instead might he spend the money on other things? Anyway. Just a thought. Take care. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Bye.
Luce, help me
with
this.
Other things, I think. Yes.
No, I disagree. First off, why does the fact that Fairbrother Sr. wants his granddaughter to be christened, why does that mean he's going to toddle off?
Well, because it's a sort of a, if you know that you're dying, I think you kind of have a sort of a tying up the loose ends type thing.
Okay. All right. Give you that. That thought did not cross my mind. But the way that they are portraying Toby is somebody who absolutely does love his daughter. He might be still a little bit feckless, etc., but actually, think about it. How many scenes have there been with Toby just casually playing with Rosie?
Yeah, but can't you hear the dialogue of Toby saying, "But if I invest this money in the gin, I'll actually have a business to hand on to her."
That's a fair point. All right, scratch what I just said, right? fucker cannot be trusted with money.
Beep, 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 reversing again. Catherine has some plot predictions too that she emailed in.
All right.
Elizabeth's tent flaps will open for Russ. Lily will get together with Rex. Tom will end up bankrupt and he and Natasha will end up in Meadow Rise. Ha ha ha. Leonard will persuade Jill that Grace is a lovely name for a baby. Lee will learn how to use Google, recognize that Helen Titchener, as she was at the trial, is the same person as Helen Archer, and all will end well. Ed and Emma will get their house after Ed displays seldom seen perspicacity and runs a mile from his new mate. You heard it here first. I like all of those. Catherine, particularly Tom and Natasha in Meadow Rise, that, with all their aspirations in a box.
That would be quite funny. Now, that last email is from Alison, yeah?
No, Catherine.
Catherine, that's what I meant. It's not what I said, it's what I meant. All right. I'm going to potentially apologise. Well, not potentially. I'm going to actually apologise to people who have sent in plot predictions and emails to Dumby Dum in the last 2 years and they've not been read out. Because, Lucy, I discovered whilst doing a little bit of online email spring cleaning,
yes,
in my spam.
Oh, God.
Was that
how many?
Email. Was that one?
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, if you don't do anything with your spam after...
It deletes after 30 days.
Exactly, right.
Ooh.
So I looked in my spam last week. Somebody said they'd emailed me something and I went, and I, that was it. I interviewed the guy from Map Porn, talking to him online. So the guy who's on the latest edition of Map Corner, great new podcast from Roy Field Brown and Claire Asprey, he said, I've emailed you something. And I went, no, you haven't. And I looked at my inbox up and down and I went, let me just have a look in my spam. And there it was in my spam. And he,
alongside 750 emails from irritated dum-de-dum people saying, why don't you read out my email?
Next to an email from a dum-de-dummer.
Now,
I understand the reason why the map porn one went in there. And he said, Royfield, occupational hazard. This happens all the time. It goes straight into, it goes into your spam. But why the dum-de-dum ones from the website go in, I don't know. Because they don't always go in. So
Yeah.
So,
oh, well, you just need to check it then, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it. So if you sent in an email and it's been really good, funny, insightful, or just devastatingly on the money in the last couple of years and you've gone, why don't those bleeders ever read it out? It's because it's gone into my spam and then it's just been deleted after 30 days. So sorry. So sorry. So we've done spam.
Can I do another email quickly?
Oh, goodness, we've got lots this week. Go on then.
We have. Kate Nichols, it's about the Order of John Archer. Can you please remind Dan John that he is Dan John the Ninth, not the Seventh? The Order of John Archer. My dad died 2 years ago last week, so my claim for his John the Seventh is very precious to me. So I needed to contact you about it to clear the air.
Oh.
Best wishes for everything. Kate Nichols. So, Dan John, you are Dan John the Ninth, not the Seventh, because Kate's dad is John the Seventh.
Mm. I think we need to bring that order back because I actually quite like that order.
And do you?
Yeah. I like it when we have our little conventions and little slight, you know, inward jokes and stuff. And also, I really like John Archer. I loved him as a character.
Yeah.
I think we were kind of, were we the same age? I think he was a little bit younger than me, but he was kind of somewhat of a contemporary. So him coming to, you know, doing his thing and coming into maturity, doing the farm, you know, kind of sat well with me, so to speak. Whenever I was listening to
doing
the Archers,
Kylie mostly.
True that. From when I was listening to the Archers, there always was a John Archer, you know, and it was, and I remember you talking about the shock when you heard, wasn't it somebody had to call you and say, John Archer's
I was
died.
Outside the National Theatre and I said, died? What, tractor? And my friend was going, what? What's the matter? Do you need me to drive you home? Because she thought it was a family member. And I went, John Archer's died. She said, oh, for God's sake, and stomped off down the South Bank.
It was a proper shock. It was absolutely a proper shock.
Yeah.
And wasn't done on, you know, the 1st of January or December 25th, where like...
No, they just slipped it in.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
We
spring has sprung, as it's
back on Fiesta
revealed.
And Razzle.
You are clearly.
Yes, I can't. Yes, there's little bunny rabbits running hither and zither, outside my window.
Zither?
Whatever. Good God, woman. I tell you, there was such a display put on by the turkeys 3 days ago walking up the road. It was truly, truly beautiful, considering, and I have said this before, they're such ugly creatures. The head
I know.
Of a turkey, good God, right?
Well, there's an old African saying, if you've got a terrible voice, learn to dance. And, you know, that's kind of, if they, you know, they look terrible. So, you know, they have to compensate in other ways, don't they?
By being really tasty.
Yeah. No, by being good dancers.
Well,
my lawn looks like 10 minutes to one on a Saturday night at Ritzy at the moment, the amount of rogering that's going on.
Really?
Mm, yes.
Good heavens. Right, I tell you what, let's talk about this off mic whilst I press the button on our Leslie Greaves.
Hiya, Leslie Greaves here, special diet one on the Twitters. If we're going in for awards, I'd like to nominate Pat as the Crap Mum of the Year award.
Yeah.
She is absolutely useless. She thinks she's such a good mother, but she's got no idea about having whatsoever. And all this passive-aggressive stuff with Tom and the bungalow and everything is really getting on my wick. She is so annoying. At least Kate is more obvious, but I put Kate second.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what's happened this week? We've got the feminine week. We've had Tampax Les, period, sewing machines, crochet, stitch and bitch, makeup, fashion. What on earth's going on? We've had a wonderful women's week. Keep going, you two. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hadn't thought about that. That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And yes, we know that men can do crocheting and sewing and da 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 as well. Yes. A quick one more email from Valerie Bayliss, who's very quickly wants to hurtle back to the depression discussion. I have noticed that many comments on Facebook have attributed Lizzie's depression to stress. There are two types of depression: reactive, which is caused by a catastrophic incident, but also endogenous, which has no cause but just happens. I think it's really important that people are aware that this happens. No cause, nothing to blame, just a descending black cloud. It is no more the fault of the individual than, say, a migraine. I just wanted everyone to be clear that it can land on anyone at any time. Here, Valerie. Absolutely right. Yes.
No, true. And thank you for that, Valerie.
Yes. And also, to hurtle back to Pat again for a minute,
mm-hmm.
I think she's absolutely right. Kate may be a terrible mother, but Kate, at least Phoebe, had the benefit of Roy and Hayley growing up. Pat and Tony have parented Helen and Tom, and they're both idiots.
Hello, Lucy and Royfield. My name's Wendy. I'm in West London. I'm a fairly new convert to the Archers, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And I love listening to your podcast. I'm ringing up because this morning I've just listened to Sunday night's edition of the Archers, and I can't believe they put a lamb in the warming oven of the Arga. No, I am a city girl. I'm a council estate girl, and I don't think anybody even had a warming oven, let alone see a little baby lamb being put in one. So I thought that was quite amusing and did make me chuckle, especially with the salt and pepper jokes that everyone kept going through, but never mind. I'm also ringing up because I have a theory. I don't know what Leonard's up to, but there's something not right about him. He's either trying to palm off sort of himself as some sort of passing himself off as some sort of gentleman, and I'm wondering if there's some hidden meaning to everything that he's doing. He's got some sort of hidden agenda. I don't really trust him, and I'm worried about Jill because she seems like really quite sweet, and I'm wondering whether or not he's in some dodgy cahoots with Tim, let's get you a van in 2 seconds, and Natasha, let's get married in 3 seconds. So yeah, but yeah, don't trust Leonard at all, wondering what's going to happen with that particular storyline. Okay, thanks for fantastic podcasts, and I really, really enjoy listening to them. Bye.
Luce,
bye.
What do you reckon the chances are that Wendy was actually born in West London?
I think she was probably your English teacher, wasn't she?
That is exactly where I was going to go with this guy. I'm sure she went to Great Bar Comp in the mid-80s, just like I did. I've never heard a more full-on Brummie in all my podcasting dum-de-dum days than you, Wendy. I'll catch you down the bull ring.
I have to say, though, Wendy, you have, although you are a recent convert, you have absolutely the Archer's mentality, which is don't trust anyone at all if they're new. We don't like them. They're different. We hate them. They're obviously up to no good. It's very good. Mm. And the lamb thing, I have seen that done. And yes, they do that, put them in. And something that I find particularly odd as well, if a ewe has triplets and one dies, if a ewe has twins and one dies and another has triplets, they will get the dead lamb, take its sort of coat off, its fur off, and put it, its skin off, and put it over a different lamb.
What?
And then the mother will take it as her own because it smells like her.
Ah.
So then because ideally they should have twins. It's not great for them to have three because there's not enough milk.
Goodness.
So yeah, so if one dies and they get an adopted lamb. And then you get some lambs that aren't that are orphan, you know, because if the ewe thinks it's not her lamb, she'll kick it. And they can kick them to death sometimes. So it's very brutal lambing. And they're called cade lambs. So they're the ones that you have to bottle feed.
Good heavens.
Yes.
You know what? I've always wondered what your role was on this podcast. All right.
Yeah, that's it. Knowing about skinning lambs.
Well, just the rural stuff. You're awesome. Thank you, Lucy.
You know we're going to get phone calls now from people going, no, you don't do it like that. I'm just waiting for that. My friend Jill looked after some cade lambs, and she didn't know what to do. She didn't have anywhere to keep them. So she put them in the children's Wendy house. So these lambs lived in the Wendy house, and she fed them out of wine bottles with the teat on the top. Because you could put a lot of formula milk in there. They drink like anything. They guzzle and guzzle and guzzle. Mm. And so she'd go in there with 3 wine bottles full of formula milk with stoppers in. She's a farmer's daughter. And she'd go and feed all these lambs. And her friend arrived to take her out for dinner to see Jill clambering out of the window of the Wendy house holding 3 wine bottles. And just thought she had some sort of problem that she probably needed to share. Because her friend didn't know that they were full of lambs. Anyway. But it's very sweet, these lambs sitting in a little Wendy house with ornate wooden carved windows. Quite cute.
Mm. What a lovely picture to have in your mind, because I tell you what, that the image you painted beforehand, Lucy, of, you know, a gutted, skinned lamb.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, good heavens. Anyway, now we're not sure, listeners, if Claire was on last week's Dum-de-Dum. If she was, you've got her twice.
Hey, it's Claire from Clapham here. It's only Wednesday, but I'm not really ringing about this week's Archers. I'm mainly ringing about last week's Dum-de-Dum. So I just wanted to agree with what was said about Kate. I think she will do some growing up under Peggy's roof. And the test of that will be, and here's my plot prediction, that Peggy will die at some point. Helen will inherit the house and want to move in. And how Kate manages that forced move might be evidence of the fact that she may have grown since this last time. So we'll see what happens there. On the subject of which cast members are most attractive. I agree. I don't find Tom attractive at all. I don't really understand the women that beat a path to his door. But I think that Rex and Toby are supposed to be probably quite good looking in a kind of posh yes. rugby boys way. And I imagine Jazza has a roguish charm, although I'm not sure he washes all that much. So I'm not sure how attractive he is in real life. Will and Roy, very average looking in my view. But, you know, that's not what they're offering in terms of their charms, I guess, if they, you can say that either of them have charms. And finally, I just wanted to say I very much enjoyed the musical interlude when Lucy went to let Basil out. But so can we have a random musical interlude every week where Lucy has to do a job in the house or a chore or open a door or something? I particularly enjoyed this week's music, which reminded me of happy times at the Twin Woods Festival, which is the vintage festival up the road from my house where me and my dad go and enjoy ourselves every bank holiday weekend in August. Keep up the good work. Aww. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Well, I very nearly had to go and stop the pond from overfilling, so there you go. But I have averted that disaster, so no music this week.
Well done, you. We've had a lot of emails this week, haven't we? Mm. Well, I suppose because I fished half of them out my spam folder.
Yeah.
A lot of emails, quite a few calls. Is there anything particularly important that we haven't touched on in terms of last week's Archers? You know, there was David and Kenton. You know, David's still chasing Kenton for about the
I love
cash.
The way that the amount of times they use the word mate is in inverse proportion to how cross they are with each other.
That is very true.
But I've noticed that a lot with men. Yes.
There's a lot of bros over here as well. I think bro serves in the same way. Because it's not meant in a bro-y type of way. Because that word's kind of lost its cachet.
Yeah.
So if you call someone a bro, it's because you're pissed with them.
Yeah. Mm.
Well spotted there, Lucy.
Oh, you've gone native, pissed off with them.
Sorry?
You said pissed with them.
Did I?
Which in English means that you're drunk with them.
Oh, my God.
Pissed off with them is what we say.
You know what? Please keep me on the straight and narrow with this, because I'm forever...
As if I'm not going to. Have you met me?
So
can I give you my mirror headline, because it's a cracker?
Why don't we do the show in the normal, regular order? I've noticed what you're doing with this whole mirror thing. First off, it was an
afterthought. I'm moving it further and further up the show, aren't
I? You are. And one of us has to be cognizant of that and rail against it and say, no, everything in its place, Freeman. Everything in its place. So right now...
Oh, you're so boring.
Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. It's time for an advertisement break. Camp coffee moment. Why don't you go and have a whiz, have a sip of water, walk the dog, come back in approximately... Well, you can't walk the dog in 3 minutes. That'd be terrible if you only walked your dog for 3 minutes. Don't listen to... If you're that type of person, we don't want you listening to Dum Dee Dum. Walk your dog for at least 20 minutes, half an hour. Give it a good airing. God, some people, Lucy. Can you imagine only walking your dog for 2 minutes?
No, I do an hour at least.
Every day?
Yeah.
Twice a day?
No.
Mm.
Once a day, and then he has a lead walk later on.
A lead walk?
Yeah, on the lead.
Oh, yes. Gotcha. Right. I know old is Basil now?
7.
Isn't he about, well, so he hasn't got much longer then, has he?
Yes, they live till they're about 12. Don't say that.
No, sorry. As soon as the thought formed in my head and then came out of my mouth, I thought, that's not really striking the right tone. I quite like Basil, considering I've never actually met him. You know, I hear him bark on dum-de-dums and on walkie-talkies, and I feel pretty close to Basil, really, considering I've never met him.
You're quite similar, really.
What, we're both black?
Yes.
Fair enough. Here come the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yokel Bear here calling with the social media roundup for the week. And we had something this week. We had a people's poll. You know I love a people's poll. And this one came about because I saw some talk on the Twitters about Jolene's voice, about whether it was any good. You know, the singing, the country and western. So we did a poll. I asked, Jolene singing, voice of an angel or foghorn? Probably rather unkindly, but hey, we did it. Well, the results are in. 88% of people voted foghorn. I'm really sorry, Jolene.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I hope the tour goes well, though. We also talked about a bit about Russ as well, though we try not to talk too much about Russ, but he was in it quite a bit this week, wasn't he? So, and we asked a question tonight. Lily, this was Monday night. Lily asked Russ, what are you really angry about? And so we asked you, what do you think he's really angry about? And the first person I have to mention, and I'm not going to go through the whole comment because it is quite long, but it is genius. Pete Ranson, what a poet you are. He said, such a lovely romantic story. Young love, star-crossed lovers from different sides of town. And then he wrote the song lyrics. I've got no skills, they're multiplying, and I'm losing control. I had some power, now you're denying. It's dissatisfying, and so on. It's really worth going having a look at it. The whole thing is marvellous. Bridget Allen said something that a lot of people think is going to happen when she said, I think Russ and Elizabeth will start an affair while Lily is at her work in a new job. He certainly seems to be very persuasive of her. A lot of people are thinking this. There's something there, isn't there? I think it's, you know, for Russ, it's all about the money, isn't it? He's a bit of a gold digger. Mind you, Melissa Williams said, I'd be cross too if I was Russ. He needed a hazmat outfit, not a bunny costume for cleaning out Freddy's room. Putting two and two together of the contents under his bed. Dirty socks and 50 shades of grey. Ooh. Yeah, I was thinking that as well. You know, you don't want to be going home under a teenager's bed, do you? Teenage boy's bed. My dad sounds a bit wrong, doesn't it? You know what I mean? You don't want to be cleaning that out because Lord only knows what they've got under there. How many tissues? However, Benjamin Hugh Mackay, I thought this really interesting post. He said, I am sure Russ is angry because he knows Freddie is going to drop him in the proverbial. Freddie will come straight into the kitchen, hopefully in tall boots and riding gear, and say, there we are, Mum. I went to prison for him because he knew about the drugs and did nothing to help me. Yes, Freddie coming back is going to be interesting for the whole Russ thing. I await with bated breath. Later in the week, though, there was that bit where, you know, obviously Russ went to the thingy. I can't remember what it was. Was it an art thing? A wine thing? anyway, yes, went somewhere with Lizzie because Lily couldn't go. And I wondered, because they seem to be getting quite on quite well, have people's, over the week, did people's opinion of Russ soften in any way? Peter Mabbott said, no. Feckless scrounger who was willing to take advantage of a schoolgirl and seemingly now has his eyes on vulnerable Elizabeth. Mark A. Oxley just said, he's a knob. And Blanche Dupig said, also, I don't know whose enunciation I find more irritating, Pip or Russ. Both of them make me want to throw things. But it wasn't all negativity, because Janice Marie Winch said, well, I'm sorry, but I quite like him now. I did hate him, but he seems like a pretty decent guy. So I am shallow and naive. No, Janice, you're not shallow and naive. It's okay to like him. Go against the grain, that's what I say. But not a lot of other people like him at the moment. One of our most popular posts this week was actually posted by Catherine Shorrock. She said, I was pondering the other day whilst at work, does anyone have a tenuous claim to fame connection to the Archers? And she said, the mother of the actor who plays Alice once offered me a horse. Anyone else? Well, Melissa Williams again told a wonderful story about meeting Tim Bendick, and Tim actually weighed in on this because he follows our Facebook page as well. He was on there as well, huge friend of the show. But Melissa's story was really great. Again, it's quite a long one, so just, go over there and have a look at it. Penelope Matheson said, I met Felicity Finch at a breastfeeding conference. She was there because it was considered that the Archers had given bad advice refeeding, which they had, and were seeking to make amends. Karen Smith said, I shop in the same Sainsbury's as Pat and once saw Ian looking at jeans in fat face on a Sunday. I like the fact that you specified it was on a Sunday. It's the Sabbath, isn't it? Maybe you shouldn't have been looking at jeans in fat face. But Ben Johnson said, I am Sabrina Thwaite's body double for all her saucy scenes. Really, Ben? That's brilliant. Hold on a second. Are you lying, Ben? And finally, we talked about whether it was right that Robin should interfere with this whole christening business. And I hope this means Robin's coming back, because I really enjoyed Robin. He was twisting the moustache, evil villain, evil brilliant. And it's Anthony Head as well, so, great actor. So please, more Robin. I just love the way he caused a little bit of chaos for the Fair Brethren. So we asked, should Rosie be christened? Barb Danielson said, of course she should be christened. How else would you find out the middle name?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I do wonder whether that's why this is being set up. Emma Louise Woodhouse wanted to get something off her chest. And do you know what? That's what we're here for as well, Emma. She said, I've got a bee in my bonnet about christenings at the moment. Robin has no right to interfere, and they shouldn't christen Rosie unless they are practicing Christians, which there is no evidence of. It really annoys me when non-churchgoers rock up with 4+ godparents so they can have a super cool party. It's a solemn rite, not an excuse for a big to-do. And breathe, just to get that off my chest. Really glad we could help there, and you got that off your chest, Emma. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it is a little bit hypocritical, if you're not a Christian, to have christening. Jane Evans, was Smith, said, I'm not convinced it wasn't engineered by Toby. Yeah, but what I thought was, is actually, I think Toby knew. I think Toby knew and didn't say anything. I think he had a phone call from his dad, said, get the baby christened. Toby said no, and then Robin contacted Alan direct. That's what I think happened. Anyway, the consensus was no. John Kelston Merritt said no. Sarah Litt said no and no. Monica Strawson said no. And Paul Green said nope. So I think we got consensus. No to the christening. Anyway, that's social media roundup for the week. It's been fun. So I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Just very quickly. I disagree about the christening thing. And when I had Noah christened, I wasn't a Christian then, or at least I didn't profess to be one outwardly. But I knew that it was really important for my father and also for my grandmother that Noah was christened. And I'm not anti-Christianity, but also what it served as doing wrapped up in a Christian rite was the celebration of a new life and a new life coming into a family, into our family, and it to be marked. The fact that it was actually done in a church, I said, this is important, as I said, for my parents, specifically my father and my grandmother, but I wanted to mark the fact that I had a child, I had a son, I brought a new life into the Brown family. That, for me, was what it was all about. So I take completely on board that for some Christians, that this is a very solemn rite and you should sign up to all the bits and pieces to do with it, and that your godparents that you choose are church members, etc. But if I just slightly rub away that veneer of the Christianity, you know, to say to four adults, if something happens to me, will you keep an eye on this life until it can look after its own? That's got nothing to do with Christianity. That's just to do with humanity. You know, for a family.
But then you can have a naming ceremony where that happens. You don't have to have a godparent.
But also there is a legacy issue in my family of my grandmother being a committed Christian and also my father. So I chose very knowingly to have my son christened in a Methodist church because it would mean the world to my mother and to my father and my grandmother. And, you know, and it was to honour them. You know, and it was a family rite in that respect. So I hear what you're saying, but for me, whether it's, you know, whether it was in a Christian country, whether it's a Christian rite or an Islamic one or maybe a Buddhist one, for me matters not that much. But it's about the symbolism of the wider community accepting this new life into it and looking out for it. Mirror headlines.
Oh, that's mirror
headlines. I know we play this thing for gags.
It's a nice sentiment, regardless of whether or not you believe in God, isn't it? Anyway. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you braced for this?
I am.
Furious Gran, 76, forced to sit on chair after waiting 2 months for new sofa. This isn't even scraping the bottom of the barrel, is it? This is like they've gone through the barrel and they're like digging through the foundations. Unbelievable. Anyway. Yep, there you go. That was this week's mirror headline.
Wow. Wow. Now we've done the mirror headlines, shall we have some tweets?
Yes. Sally Ronaldson. I've just read a tweet that says people dislike characters in The Archers who remind them of themselves, and I just wanted to say how much I've always liked and respected Shula. Mel Parker. Ooh, Russ is inserting himself into the family.
Oh, dear.
The Optopian. The irony that Kate, the owner of Spiritual Home, is incredibly unspiritual and completely homeless. Andrew Langstone. Russ should work at the stables. He is very good at grooming. And tweet of the week, Bob Hawkins. Why not tie a welcome home Freddy banner from the roof of Lower Loxley and get Russ to take it down later?
I'm I know we did kind of mention this before, and obviously listeners have said that it seems like things are pointing in this direction, but I really hope that we're not going to have a Russ and Elizabeth thing. We know that she's emotionally vulnerable at the moment. She realises, at least she believes that Russ is being some level of support for the family, but specifically for her. But like, no, come on. They can't do that, can they, Lucy?
I think he'll make a pass at her and Elizabeth will come to her senses and say, get lost, and then she'll tell Lily and then that'll be the end of Russ.
I got a sneaky feeling it's going to be the other way around. Because the way that this is set up, the way that this is set up at the moment, it'd be much more interesting if it's the other way around. The way that this is being set up at the moment, Russ does have some level of empathy to do with Elizabeth and her predicament, her illness. He does. And he's been playing it with a very straight bat. There is no hint of him actually wanting to spend time with Elizabeth. You know, the going to the party was very clearly, it was Elizabeth was going to it. Lily wasn't there. Russ was a collateral damage in terms of, well, why don't you want to come? And she gets a lift, etc. And there's been like the walks and stuff. It's not Russ saying, I will go and have a walk with you, Elizabeth. It's been her saying, oh, well, Russ was here, so I asked Russ to, you know, X and Y and Z. So the way that it's been set up is that he is just doing stuff, you know, he's just being helpful, etc. And considering that we have an insight into the way that he is with Lily, there is no side with him and Elizabeth. So I think it'd be much more interesting.
No, I know.
Tell me.
If I was writing it, I would do, Lily starts to have a big success at the kitchen selling place. He gets jealous and feels left out. She's no longer sort of worshipping him. She's now seeing him with feet of clay. And he then, because he's like he is, he then has to go and find someone else that thinks he's wonderful. So he'll start hitting on Elizabeth. He'll feel rejected by Lily. And move on to Elizabeth.
There was a line last week when Elizabeth said, oh, it's really good that Lily's with people of her own age. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. There's no two ways about it. Lily's going to be successful selling these kitchens because anything she decides to turn her hand to, apart from studying in Manchester, is a success. She's competent, yeah. She's organised, she's outgoing, etc. So that will happen. But it'd be much better if... Do you remember when Alistair had that very... Well, it was Dan. Remember Dan's girlfriend that came on to Alistair?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
That's kind of what we need here.
But that was a Radio 4 Extra thing, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't on the real one, only on the pretend one.
But it was commented on in passing on the real Archers. Okay, but I used to kind of quite like, apart from the bonkers Russian mafia storyline, which was just bonkers and Russian, and it was the mafia. They got no business being in the Archers, even if it's Archers Extra. Apart from that, which I still listen to every episode, I just thought that was just craziness beyond belief. But so we do have form, but it's good if the person who we view as the antagonist, as the villain, actually isn't as villainous as we think, and actually shows and actually pushes back, because Elizabeth is obviously emotionally vulnerable right now, and you could clearly construct this in terms of the dramatic narrative that she reaches out for some level of affection.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, dumdydum.com. Go there. It's got stuff. People are buying stuff on the shop, and I thank you and I salute you. We sold some stuff. to somebody in all the way in New Zealand the other day, Lucy. People the planet really? Over are getting mugs, T-shirts, wow. whatever. Yeah. Just so you know how it works, folks. This is obviously a third-party service. So it is right and proper that if you don't get your things in a timely manner, that you do email me. But don't think that I'm sat here with a in a room full of T-shirts and mugs, you know, labelling boxes.
Sellotape in your mouth.
Yeah.
Kind of reading.
You know, it doesn't quite work like that. It is a third-party service. So if you do, you know, if you are waiting around, you know, for 2 to 3 weeks for something, please do send me an email. And I do go and look this stuff up. But, you know, don't say, Royfield, can you just send me that thing right now, please? Because I've been waiting longer because I ain't got it. You know, so dumdydum.com, go there. It's got a shop. It's got awesome things. You can be part of the community. If you're new to Dumdydum, why don't you go on to our chronology page, which quite simply is on the homepage. There's a lovely, handsome lady over on the right-hand side, and it says Know Your Archers Vintage. Click on that, and you can clearly see the years that the Archers has been around, and you can see which characters came and went. So you can say, aha, I am a Jack Woolley because I started listening to it in 1979 or whatever. All right, so go to dumdydum.com, be part of our wonderful community. What else? I've run out of things to think about here, Lucy. I can't think.
Well, we've finished, haven't we?
No.
I don't think you need to think
Patreon.
About anything else.
Come on.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. Yes, and if you want to sponsor us on Patreon, it's only $2 a week and it makes us very happy, so do that.
Cool. Mm. And remember to get in contact with us. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call us on 02030313105 to leave us a message via a phone. As somebody did this week, Leslie Greaves, she called up on the number this week. So we thank you for making... that for using that facility, and we thank you to Vitel because we hardly ever thank them. This has been going on for 5 years. So this company Vitel, who do phone services, have happily given us this facility, and we, as I say, we don't thank you enough. So Vitel, thank you for being a great supporter of Dumdydum. On the socials, specifically Twitter, you can find Yokel Bear, who is at Dumdydum. Lucy is at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield. And also, of course, there is Facebook. And you can go on there and type in Dumdydum. And you can join in with all the Millie Bell, Witherspoon and Yoko Bear goings on there. That's just about me. I can't think of anything else to say other than I'm going to serenade you at the very end of this show, listener, with... one of my favourite pieces of music ever, which is Mr. Fingers' Can You Feel It? So at the start of the show, you heard Matt Stone's fantastic rendition of the Mr. Fingers' Deep House Classic with a dum-de-dum melody on top, but you're going to get the original. Lucy, is there anything you would like to say before we completely switch off the lights, pull out the plug on this podcast?
No. Thank you very much for listening. Have a lovely week, whichever day you're hearing this.
But we are putting this out this week, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're not going to wait until next week.
No.
Like we're accused of.
No.
Right, good. Right, goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Well done, you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.